Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And where I would go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
He's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close.
Shane Lowry is the Open champion.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Fairway Finders. Fucking hell, it's episode 92 and we have a full house. Steve and Donnie, how the fuck are we doing, lads?
I think we just recorded episode 92 before hitting the record button. We've been talking shite.
We've been talking mad generation.
How are you, lads?
Good.
Again.
Good. Good to be back.
Steve, back in the Emerald Isle for all of those listening.
Yeah, in the motherland, I have a nice nitro surge can of Guinness in front of me here now, so just getting back up to speed with it all. And you'd miss it. You miss it, boys, when you're away. You take it for granted, these things.
You do. Absolutely. No, you actually do. You do.
Cherie, do you know, actually, I was in Budapest a couple of weeks ago. There's an Irish bar in Budapest called the James Joyce Pub. If you're ever in Budapest and you like a pint of Guinness, the pints of Guinness were only phenomenal. And I mean, I've never had a pint of Guinness this good outside of Ireland in my life. And the two boys who own it bought it a year ago and they said, yeah, look, we spent a lot of time. We had to make sure we got the Guinness right. And fucking class. So shout out to those boys in Cork. I forget their names. I think Darren was one of them.
Ah, sure. Look, Cork lads, you know.
James Joyce in Budapest. If you're ever in Budapest, straight to that pub. They had a spread on for Liverpool games for the Six Nations. It was A1. Otherwise, pints of Guinness, when you're not in Ireland, are generally
dog
muck.
Shit. Yeah, dog shit.
Beggars especially can't be Canada. Choosers. No. Yeah, beggars can't be choosers. A few good ones, but anyway, I could sit talking about Guinness for the next 2 hours. I don't think people really want to listen to that, so
yeah,
we should move swiftly along.
It's been a while since we are on the pod, all three of us together. Last week, I didn't catch any of the golf personally. I know that another kind of randomer one again.
The Valspar, which has had some big winners in the past, has had Spieth has won it, and Sam Burns has won it twice, and Paul Casey twice.
Yeah.
So this was both brilliant and awful for the PGA Tour at the same time. It was brilliant in the sense that the first thing I want to talk about is, so Peter Malnati won on the PGA Tour 9 years ago and has got a few medical exemptions. His driving statistics are atrocious. He is short and inaccurate. He really struggles to compete at this level. He gave this interview when he won, so he wins by two shots from Cam Young, who we're definitely going to get into. Cam Young is seventh runner-up place. But anyway, Malnati just was pure emotion. He's got his young lad in his hands saying he didn't think he could ever win again on this tour. It's harder than it ever was. You can argue, you know, is that true or not, given the strength of the field and all the lads are gone for leave. You can argue that. But what it showed to me was something that this, you know, new era of golf moving, like with Liv and all this and money, is Liv will never be able to replicate that. Like, he never once mentioned anything about the finances involved. He just mentioned about how hard it is to be a PGA Tour professional darting all over the country with two kids under five and knowing that guys like Scotty and Rory and Hideki and all these guys can just torch you every week. And to see him get a win was brilliant in the sense that it was a really nice story. It's a great storyline, really wholesome. Fair play to him. He's super likable. He's now on the PGA Players Board as well. So he would have been sat around a table with Tiger and Al Ramayan on Monday in Barbados, and then he goes and wins the tournament, which is gas. 325-1. And the final thing I'd say is, like, the other side to the coin is, great dude, really seems like a really nice man, super happy for him. At the very, very sharp end of golf, he's right in that a guy of his ability, and look, they're all super golfers, but he shouldn't be winning the Valspar.
Yeah, I agree. Three problems I have with it, Donnie. One, he wears a bucket hat, which I can't get behind.
No, bucket hats are elite, Steve. I would not have that kind of slander on the podcast. Not for me.
Not for
me. I know what number two is.
Two, he plays with a fucking yellow golf ball, which is that should be at least a 3-4 shot penalty just for teeing that thing up. And number three, he Did you see his shot on the par five, the fifth or sixth hole? He topped his second shot.
Oh yeah, that's one of the worst scandals I've ever seen. Yeah,
and he parred the hole and won the golf tournament, which I don't think I've ever seen a pro top a golf ball and win a golf tournament on the same day. So, it was a good story. The final group were a huge letdown. They were Seamus Power and Keith Mitchell went out and shot a combined 11 over par.
Oh my gosh!
Between the two of them, so. I had a bit of money on Mitchell, obviously being a fellow Waterford man. I was hoping for Seamus Power to do well as well. But they were just both fucking horrendous.
It was a car crash. Do you know what it is? It's one of those things. It's very much like an intangible thing in golf, but all these guys play in a bubble and your playing partner is super important on Sunday. It's so underrated and underestimated.
Yeah, I agree.
How critical it is to have someone who's hitting good shots. Like, the two guys, they've both won on the PGA Tour.
They are
decent players. They're top 50 players. They've played in the Masters. And you're assuming that one of these guys is going to be at the sharp end. We didn't even see them on the back nine. They weren't featured. To the extent that they didn't even show their drives or their fucking second shots when they were on the 18th. And there was nobody else on the fucking course.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Laddie was there celebrating. And they didn't even... They were still back in the tee. I think they forgot about him. But no, I thought it was a great tournament. I thought the course is brilliant. It was one of those events where like a birdie actually meant something. Where if you made a birdie, you were like bounding up the leaderboard as opposed to the usual bullshit where there's just birdies left, right, and center. Really, really good course. It's just like that. There's danger everywhere. Basically, if you don't drive the ball in the fairway, you get punished. It's like old school golf essentially. Yeah. But pity about the field. I would like the stronger field there, but. Speed missed the cut. He wasn't around. I think the JT, he made the cut, but then shot something horrendous. He lost seven strokes putting. Was that right?
JT recorded, I might be wrong here, but do fact check me and give me abuse on Twitter. I think it was the 23rd worst putting round since records began in terms of strokes gain putting. So he lost 7.1 shots putting in his third round. I think the longest putt he made was from
2.5 feet. I think it was two and a half feet.
I think he made one from about 8, and the rest of them were all like inches. It was just, and he even said hilariously, this is how fickle golf is. He said he actually didn't feel like he putted badly. He burnt a lot of edges.
Yeah.
But what's funny is Peter Malinati over the course of the week gained 8 strokes putting. JT lost 7. So for the other 3 days, he was pretty much bang middle of the pack for putting. And Malinati bet JT by 15 shots.
Jesus Christ.
So there you go. Yeah. There's your difference.
Cameron Young, like what's the story with him? I shocked that he hasn't won before. I had in my head that he did win, but he hasn't won a tournament yet. And how many seconds does he have? Donnie, 7, so 8?
In the last 42 years on the PGA Tour, nobody has managed to come second 7 times before winning an event. So that is a new, very unwelcome record that Cam Young has. I want to deal Brew in here because Brew's a big Cam Young fan. What do we think? The guy has never won. You've backed him a sack full of times. I know he's placed a sack full of times, but...
Yeah, I mean, just battles it an unholy amount of times. Because, like, look, let's be perfectly honest. Like, if you're a shot or two behind that guy at the Valspar, you must be thinking, fuck yeah, this is my time. Like, you know, it's not a Scotty, it's not a Rory, it's a player that, let's be perfectly honest, Cameron Young is a lot better than, right? And he just, I don't know, man, he just gets into his own head. I don't know what he does. Like, he just fucks it every time. It's just, I don't know.
It's sad. Like, but so this one was very different in the sense that, like, who has beaten him in the past? I know Hideki has beaten him a couple of times.
Brian Harman beat him in the Open.
Yeah.
And Cameron Smith.
Oh, Cam Smith. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm just looking here. Who else has beaten him? And I mean, it's all in a really short space of time as well. Like, he's been second 7 times, but he's only really been on the tour for about 3 years. So Max Homa bet him at the Wells Fargo, at the Rocket Mortgage. He was beaten by Tony Finau, and like Patrick Cantlay was tied second with him. But this was the one Where, like, look at the field. So at the Genesis, Joaquin Niemann bet him when, do you remember Joaquin Niemann shot 63-63?
I do.
In the first two rounds at the Genesis. Yeah, so they're all stars who bet him. This week it was fucking, who was Chandler Phillips? Playing golf.
Yeah.
And fucking Malnati, who is like, he's like, Malnati, bless him, has been kind of in the punch bag. Like, Malnati is your quintessential nobody PGA Tour player. If you were to pick, like, you know, remember you'd have obscure, like Pascal Siegan, like mid-2000s footballers? Peter Malnati is that guy. He's the first guy you think of. And now he's Beckham as well, so.
Yeah. But you know what? I wouldn't be too critical on Young. Like, he was 3 under par coming onto the 18 for the back nine. Yeah. And that's not an easy back nine. Obviously, he fucked his drive on 18. But I would say Malnati just went and won it. Like, I don't think he criticized the,
it was
Malnati shot 4 under.
Super impressive for Malnati.
Yeah, and Cam Young shot 3 under. I don't think he'd be too critical of him. I think he played well. Didn't make a huge amount. He had one disaster hole, where I think he made a 5 or maybe a 6, early on in the round. But I wouldn't be too critical on him. I think it'll come. It's just a matter of, like, it's so hard to win out here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think now, because he's had all these close misses, and look. His driving is obscenely good. He's a super ball striker. He's like, he's very much in the mold of Zalatoris. And, funnily enough, Zalatoris, who's putting, gets a lot more shit because of the action. Yeah. Zalatoris has won, and I am sure Zalatoris will win again pretty soon. But I think the fact now that Cam Young, everyone is just asking him about it all the time. And he said after his round, he said, like, I kind of felt like I wasn't going to win with 3 or 4 holes left. I don't know why. I just felt like it wasn't going to be my day. Like, he admitted that. Yeah. And he said, all I'm thinking of now is I've got to drive home with 2 toddlers in the back, and as well as this. And his head was totally melted.
Yeah,
but this is going to follow him around now. And it doesn't help.
It is.
That everyone in golf media this week, because fuck all else to talk about, is given, like, that's his official nickname now. His nickname is Scam Young. That's his nickname.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it? Like, I mean, look, he's definitely good enough to win. Like, there's a lot of players on the tour who should be winning. Like, you know what I mean? But ultimately, you know, golf.
You could do a Fitzy, though. You could do a Fitzy.
Yeah, exactly.
Fitzy struggled for a long time and then popped up and won the US Open. And, like, Cam Young for a US Open is a great shout. Drives it so well, ball striking great.
Or look, yeah.
For a US Open, you just have to 2-putt everywhere. It's just about hanging on in there. So it's not like you're going to make a bunch of 20-footers.
But again, you have Lowry, who hasn't won since the Open. You have Fleetwood, who's never won on the
PGA Tour. I was going to say Fleetwood is a perfect example,
It's like,
it's just to show you how hard it is.
And how well Fleetwood's been playing over the last 2-3 years and still hasn't. He's got close, obviously, but still
hasn't gone on. And then the flip side, you've got Matthew Pavon, Jake Knapp, Nick Dunlap, fucking Bryce Garnett. All of these guys are PGA Tour winners this year.
Yeah.
And Fleetwood's never won one. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to win. It's still so hard to win. Yeah. I think maybe for Young, he needs to just turn up to the Barbasol or something and just smash all the all the B team.
Yeah, he's better than that, though. Do you know what I mean?
Open or something,
He could still, like, I think he'll be he'll win at about a 40-50 to 1 price, which would be good for us. I think, like, he'll be the price will drift out a bit because he hasn't won. And then he will win at a decent price.
The thing about him is he's that good that it's hard to ever get a price on him. Like, so in his last 8 events, he's had 4 top 10s, 5 top 20s, no miscuts. You can't, like,
good golf,
he's always there. Which means you're never going to, like, you're never going to get a big price. You might get a bit more value, the fact that he can't get over the line, but still. Yeah. Any other bits to cover before we move on?
Joe, I have one little thing I want to mention. It's golf related, but not that much. The best golf movie of all time has officially announced it's making a second one.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Is that confirmed? Yeah. And
Alexander has confirmed that Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works.
But I did see, like, a cast that is totally bullshit.
Is bullshit. It's not like, it's like Tiger Woods, who's playing Chubbs Jr.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney's playing the cart girl. And, but I also
Paige
heard
Sporanic is playing the agent.
Or he was a shooter. Shooter McGavin is moving to a Saudi-backed tour, and that's what the movie's about.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, these would be classic.
I don't know if that could be bullshit, but that, like, it's nearly something they kind of would do. Like, it's fairly up to date. Like, so yeah, we'll see. But it should be good crack.
One of my favorite. I think I can quote every line from that movie. Or I used to be able to, if I can't anymore. 100%. What, unbelievable.
Such a good movie.
100%. It's one of my. It's definitely one of my top 10 comedies. Of course, it is. It's hard to put it in my top 10 movies of all time. But yeah, it's good. That's great news. I look forward to that. Sometimes it's okay to just run it back. I'm all for original storytelling, but sometimes it's worth to go back again and sort of bring those characters back.
Oh, like some of those movies back in the day, like Dodgeball. I reckon I watched Dodgeball 1,000 times. I'm actually not taking the piss.
Do you know what? If Will Zalatoris is not in that movie,
as the caddy, that'd be so funny.
I'm going to riot. There's going to be a riot. He has to be put in that film. Just even if like the original caddy and him just meet each other like in a clubhouse,
a coffee shop, or something.
The fucking Spider-Man meme thing, like up to the point. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Yeah. Have we seen much about this TGL, the whole thing that's happening? I've paid no attention. No.
Or the Total Golf League or something. Is that what Total it stands for?
Yeah, it just got announced for January 2025. So essentially, I think when football is winding down after the regular season's over, it's going to be on Tuesday nights, I think. Tuesday nights on prime time. I don't know much about it, but it looks like Rory's behind it, Tiger's behind it. I think JT, they're all behind it.
This is the one that originally had Tyrrell and John Rahm involved. And then they obviously backed out and went to live, I think it's the same one. It's just the news. Yeah, it seems to have been launched today. There's like new like creatives and, sorry, that's my marketing speak. There's new graphics come out. January 2025.
But yeah, it's basically like, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, like it's basically like an indoor style golf tournament in front of a big crowd that they're going to be hitting into like a simulator type of thing. And then when it gets to like near the green, it's going to be an actual like, not a physical green, but like a thing that you can see, and they can like hit shots to it and putt and all that jazz. So I don't know.
Yeah, and what they're saying here is that it'll be a 40-second shot. There'll be teams, a 40-second shot clock, all players mic'd up, delivery of advanced shot data, and other broadcast enhancements. So it'll just be a big marketing thing for golf, trying to get to know the players better or whatever. So, something different anyway than your regular.
I also read that Apple are going to be doing a lot of the stuff for them as well. So people with Apple Pro Vision can see it like in real time, you know, on their kitchen tables or whatever. They can see the shots and all that jazz. So, I mean, look, it's sure, look, why not? You know what I mean? Like, as long as it doesn't interfere with the players and the PGA Tour, I have no comms for it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't fill me with a huge amount of excitement, but that's fine.
Yeah,
it's a kind of a meh thing.
Just one thing before we move on to Houston. Did you see that Rory and Shane are going to play the Zurich sort of team event in New Orleans? And this all came about because they got pissed at brunch a couple of weeks after the Ryder Cup. And it was actually Rory who asked Shane and said, here, we do this for the laugh. So very interested in the New Orleans Classic.
Have we seen the field for that? Is the field out yet, the full field?
I don't think it's out yet, but I know another awesome-looking team is Pegula and Zalatoris, which is fucking a bit sick. We'll see. Maybe with you know, Liv and all this, maybe the PGA Tour is actually sort of telling the top guys, hey, will you go to New Orleans and will you actually make a mockery of Liv by making a team event that people care about? Could be. But Rory and Shane is class. Like, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they'll be sure. They'll be favourites, if not close to favourites for that, I'd imagine.
They'll definitely be favourites. I suppose it just depends on who Mr. Scheffler partners himself with.
Well, if he plays.
Yeah.
If he plays it, yeah.
Should we talk Houston?
Let's do some picks. I think if you get John Rahm in the final group on Sunday, I think he stands on next and he's going to get it done.
Because the winner this week is going to be my one and done pick. I put it on Twitter, put my cards down on the line. I'm going for Rory McIlroy.
I'm hopping aboard the Billy Ho train. He's 28, so I think you can get him.
Straight off the bat, not even going to waste time. Paul Casey and Sam Burns. previous winners, both over 22-1. I think that's an absolute value bet there. My third pick is Hideki Matsuyama. I got him at 18s this morning.
All right, Houston Open. Steve, are you going to lead us out?
You know, okay. if you can do it, Donny, I'll let you do it.
Right. But, well, look, I'm merely your apprentice. I tried to do this. So, right, we're going to Houston. So, Florida swing is over. West Coast swing is over. We're in Texas for the next 2 weeks. We've got the Houston Open this week, the Valero Texas that Rory is playing in next week, which he never does. And then, obviously, all roads are leading to Augusta, April the 14th. Someone help me out.
April the 11th.
11th to the 14th. Yeah, is Augusta. So, it starts here in Houston. So this is widely regarded as the best public golf course in America. It's in Memorial Park in Houston, like pretty much just on the outskirts of the city. It's par 70, 7,400 yards par 70. So it is not short. It got reseeded with Bermuda greens a couple of years ago. So the greens run at like 13, 14 on the stint. They're really similar now to like sawgrass to what you've seen in Florida. So guys who have been putting well on those surfaces, you want to kind of follow them over here as well. I think as a golf course, it's got five par threes. Now, the par threes range from like 158 yards up to 218 or something, but they tend to be more on the short side. But obviously, 20 holes of this tournament are par threes. So there's an insight there into who you need to be looking at. Guys who play par threes well, whose birdie percentage is high around there. Distance tends to be more favorable over accuracy. So Memorial Park, this is the fourth iteration back at Memorial. It's hosted it 17 times, the Houston Open, in its history, but it didn't have it for like 50 years. They did redevelopments. There was a multi-million development done in like the mid-noughties. So now it's back. So we've got 3 years of data to work off. So 3 years ago, Carlos Ortiz won this at 125-1, which was, I had a pick. I had a five each way on him. That was a very, very nice week. The year after...
2021 was Jason Kokrak.
Thank you.
Scottie Scheffler and Kevin Tway. And then last year, Tony Finau won.
Yes.
Tyson Alexander.
Yeah, and Tony smashed everyone. He won by four
strokes. Four strokes. So the scores are looking at Tony was 16 under, Jason Kokrak was 10, Carlos Ortiz was 13, and then Lando Griffin won at 14 under in 2019. Yeah. But I don't know if that was at the same time, Donny, or was it?
I don't think that was at Memorial. Right. I could be wrong. Yeah, that was in the Golf Club of Houston. Ian Poulter actually won it there as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in terms of data for this week, we've only got 3 years looking at Memorial, but there's two big statistics that have sort of surfaced very obviously. So the first one is greens and regulation. Because it's quite a long golf course, like this is really going to test your mid-iron game. You know, the shortest par five, there's only three of them, but the shortest one is 576 yards. But greens and regulation, the last three winners, so Tony Finau led the field last year, greens and reg. When Kokrak won, he was third, and when Carlos Ortiz won, he was eighth in greens and regulation. Correlate that with putting, last three winners, same three winners, Tony Finau was second in putting, Kokrak third, Ortiz fifth. They are the two stats by far and away. Whoever wins this week is going to excel in at least one of them and probably both. So I'm looking at those two data points. As I said, distance is better than accuracy because of the length of the course, but also marry that with par three scoring. So they're like my four data points. So my picks this week are based on greens and regulation, good numbers, good putters, guys who can send it off to tee, and guys who aren't afraid of making birdies and par threes.
So Scottie Scheffler, okay.
Do you want to run it through the market there, bro?
Yeah, I will do, yeah. So, I'm just laughing at Scottie's price. It's so obscene. Like, 11-4 is Scottie Scheffler who's the favorite. Like, I don't think I can remember a favorite going off that short, bar maybe like Rory in his prime or Tiger. Like,
I feel like John Rahm went off at something similar.
Yeah,
maybe.
Similar. I remember one or two tournaments. Yeah, fine. But like 4-1 for the Masters. That's craziness.
Is that his price now?
He's 4-1 for the Masters. Oh, God.
He's not winning the Masters. I'll say it right here. You can clip this. He's not winning the Masters. Not a chance.
I think he is, but look.
His putter just scares me. That like the change to the mallet putter. Maybe it's just like a new manager bounce kind of with the new club, and he'll regress back to being shit at putting.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I don't know how you beat him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Marcus, sorry, bro.
Wyndham Clark is 12-1. Willie Z is 18s. You have Finau and Tagala both at 20s. You have Jason Day at 25. Siwoo Kim at 28. A name I haven't seen for a while, Alex Noren, 33-1.
Such a short price, isn't it?
Good record short here. Enough.
Yeah, he does.
Then we have Keaton Mitchell, also at 33-1. And then finishing it off, we have Tom Hoagie, Stephen Yeager, and Mackenzie Hughes, all on around 40-1.
Super. How many picks do we have, boys? I have four.
I have four as well.
I've got 4.5.
Okay. Well, look, I'll make sure mine call it five.
Okay, Brew, lead us out. Get us a winner for the love of God.
Yeah. So boosted to 4-1, Scotty Scheffler. Win only, obviously. He's ridiculously short and it's crazy. But at the end of the day, if he's gonna win, he's gonna win. Like, so
great. It was great shout on Gallup and Deschamps for the Gold Cup as well. Really good pick there, yeah.
Yeah. And fucking Annie Power back in the day. But look, that's fine. Don't worry about that.
His price, you could back 20-1 shot each way and get the same price and get the same amount of money back if that person places, as opposed to betting on Scotty to win.
I mean, yeah, I know, but sure, look, like it's nice to get a winner.
Or Jason Day.
Yeah. So he's my first pick, my main pick, I suppose. I actually was going to put in Alex Noren. I know his price is short, but as you said, Steve, he is actually going around here. It's 33-1. He should be. Should be at least.
He was tied fourth last year.
Yeah, he should be 40-45 at least, to be honest with you. But said I'd throw him in. And then I'm going to go for two younger players. I'm going to go for Jake Knapp, who's 50-1. And I'm going to go for Kurt Kitayama at 55-1.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very good.
Joanne, like, there's no point even fucking... There's no point even looking at the date anymore, Danny. It's just going to be just blind faith.
To be honest, right, here's how my year is going. I am in the green for the year, but that's thanks to Jake Knapp winning in Mexico and Ryuka Ishino winning on the DP World Tour. They're my two winners this year. I had Benny Ann nearly won the Sony, and after that, I have been shit. Last week, I had Aaron Roy miss the cut, Victor Perez missed the cut, Sam Burns missed the cut, and Doug Gim finished 67th.
Yeah, he was so useless on the weekend.
It's fucking hard. Like, it is. I go in and look at the numbers every week, and you start building a picture of what guys are good at, bad at, and you match to the course and try and find these outliers. Let me just be honest with you. These last 3 months, it doesn't fucking work.
I love your positive energy, Danny.
But I'll keep trying. Yeah. Come here, Steve. Can I go? Because I've got two of the same as Brew.
Yeah, go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
So I am taking Jake Knapp, and I'm taking Kitayama as well. So Kitayama has just sneaked in. So the reason I'm taking Jake Knapp, he's only 67th in putting, or 67th in greens regulation this season, but 26th in putting is very good, 15th in approach, 21st driving distance, already a winner on the PGA Tour. I love this dude's golf swing. This dude is like Freddie Couples on nitroglycerin. He hits it 330. He has the tempo of Freddie Couples. He looks so lazy. He's got so much power. He's so flexible. It's actually, it is definitely one of the five best swings on the PGA Tour. I'm just talking aesthetics. This is in a world where Scotty Scheffler
as well.
Yeah, this is in a world where Scotty Scheffler isn't in the top 80 golf swings.
Just yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But Jake Knapp's golf swing is just poetry. I love it. So he was tied 54th at the Players, put on Bermuda, 16th in putting that week, which I think is a nice statistic, a nice bit of correlation. And then of his par three scoring, he's pretty much on the nose. All of his par threes this season, he is two par, which makes him the 45th, one of 45 guys on the PGA Tour who can boast that number. So Yeah, I just think Jake Knapp is here to stay, and he looks like an unbelievable talent. His only downside is he tends to spray it all over the place off the tee. Source that out, he's got a lot of talent. And then Kiriyama, I just put in last minute. Kiriyama tonks it off the tee. Where was he last week? Sorry, I don't have the notes done for him because he was my last guy in. So he was tied 19th at the Players last week. He obviously won Bay Hill a couple of years ago when he fended off a whole heap of ballers. He fended off Scotty and Rory to win at Bay Hill, which was amazing. So yeah, 55-1. He hasn't played in Texas. The last time he played in Texas was the Phoenix Open a little earlier in the year. Tied 8 there, like that form. So I'm with you, Brew. I'm taking those two boys. On the understanding that they have to beat Scotty, which is very fucking hard.
Yeah.
I'll give you three more very quickly. Sahith Theegala, it's a short price at 22-1, but the reason it is, he's third in putting on the PGA Tour in the last 3 months, and he's 8th tee to green. That is a fucking hard combination to turn down, even at 22-1. 3 top tens in his last 4, and he led the field in putting on that Bermuda grass at the Players when he was tied 9th a couple of weeks ago. He's another one of the 45 guys who's level par or better for all of his par 3s this year. So I love Sahith this week. 22-1. Yeah, I would have liked 30-1 or better, but what can you do? And then two more. A guy on the comeback trail, Billy Horschel, has had some struggles, but he seems to be back. And remember, this guy has won the World Match Play in Texas. This guy has won Wentworth PGA. He's won a shit ton of PGA Tour events. I think it's 12 or 13 he's won. 7th in green regulation of the guys playing this week. 15th in putting the last 3 months. He was tied 12th last week at the Valspar. Tied 9th before that at PGA National. And he's 10th in par scoring. So he shoots 2.91 for all the par 3s that he's played this year. So Billy Horschel, I got 50-1 as well. And then finally, this guy is in just because he puts like a dream. Taylor Montgomery, 80-1. He missed the cut last week, but that's a bit skewed because he was within 7 of the lead and missed the cut. It was a weird week last week. Everybody got slammed in together. And if you were 7 shots off the lead, you were sent packing after 2 rounds. Anyway, in the last 12 months, he's the best statistical putter on the PGA Tour. He's 4th in the last 3 months, so it's not like it's dried up anytime soon. He's another one of these guys who's won the 45, whose par 3 scoring is even par better. So he's 80-1. Conscious that I've droned on a bit there, but I think, am I confident? Not really. Do I think Scotty wins? Yeah, probably. If I was to pick one guy of those 5 that I think, if you were to back each way, you'll definitely have a bit of fun on Sunday, it'll definitely be Theegala. Makes sense. 4th favourite. But there you go.
I like the Horschel shout. Like the Horschel shout, Donny.
Yeah, he's on the comeback.
Backed him last week. Backed him, followed him pretty closely last week. Played well. He just
did. Yeah.
I think it's his putting is letting him down. From that, I think he's struggling putting. I know you mentioned he's top 15 the last few months, but I think overall he's struggling a bit.
Perhaps. But I let could me be wrong. For you here. No, I'll wrong there. I've got the old trusty daily golf up here.
He's just solid, isn't he? And as I said, likes Texas, and I think he'll be up there.
Yeah, he's kind of had a mixed bag. Yeah, he's losing strokes, gained putting, and when he's playing poorly, the strokes are going putting and on approach. His driver looks really solid. Around the greens looks solid.
Yeah.
So yeah, putting on irons.
No, I like him. Four for me. Number one pick, I think he's the best value of the week, and that's Jason Day. Jason Day is 30. So these are all exchange prices as well, by the way. But he's about 31-1, 30-1.
Yeah, 31-1, you got him, mate.
I think he should be more, for me, he's more 18-20-1 type of player. I think he should be down where Theegala is, and Theegala probably should be up where Jason Day is. He's played here 3 times, been 7th, 54th, and 16th. So two top 20 finishes in 3 starts, obviously likes the course. And the last 7 events he's played, he has 3 top 10 finishes as well. He's just a classy player. Like he's
awesome.
He doesn't really have any weaknesses. Like, he's a great putter.
I'll give you a weakness.
He's a green gun.
The clobber he wears is shit.
Yeah, it's not great. And his back is still always on the edge as well. You're always worried about my fucking putter.
But I love Jason Day. And if you back Jason Day for the Masters, I think you've made a shrewd investment just by the way.
I think so as well. So, I think, as I said, I think he's the value bet of the week. I think he'll... he'll be there or thereabouts. He'll give you a run for your money anyway. And hopefully you get a bit of each way money back, if not the win. Second pick, I don't want to do it, but I'm gonna stick with Keith Mitchell from last week. Even despite his meltdown on Sunday.
That's brave.
I know,
to set his noggin right. But I mean, he is playing really well.
Maybe brave, maybe stupid, I don't know. But either way, he's played here four times. He's two top 10 finishes. Like his big strength is his off the tee game. He hits it a long way. He's just like, I would like to say that he doesn't get fazed by stuff, but obviously he shot the bed big time on Sunday. Like he couldn't stop hitting the ball left off the tee. I was just like, will you just hit a fairway? Like, just pull an iron out and hit a fucking fairway and just relax.
Yeah.
He was terrible, right? But
It was really interesting because the CBS commentary team literally pulled apart why he was hitting it left, like
was it a posture thing,
and he usually takes it on the outside and drops the club inside,
yeah.
And he wasn't doing it, he was dropping the club on a different plane, and he was, so he cuts the ball. Keith Mitchell, when he plays well, hits cuts, and he was hitting these pull hooks all day.
It was mad seeing
you know, swing analysts in real time basically saying he's doing that because of this.
Yeah, he was probably nervous. Like, he's only won once on tour.
Yeah, which is mad for how talented he is.
Yeah, but he hits the ball a really long way. And look, I'll give him one more chance. I think he was obviously playing well to get himself a two. Let's not forget, he was two shots clear going into Sunday. Got off to a really bad start, just parring the par five, and the wheels kind of came off from there. So I'll give him one more chance. He's 60.
I can't believe you're backing a lad who wears a visor.
I know, yeah. I'm ashamed of myself.
And you're giving your man shit about a bucket.
Well,
and
fair,
endlessly giving Fitzy shit about wearing Skechers.
Yeah, well, that's a different. That's a different.
Well, that's fair. That's fair point.
Now, to show how much of a hypocrite I am, my third pick is Joel Damon. Joel Damon.
Here we go.
Joel Damon is 95-1.
I actually thought you were taking the piss. You're actually serious.
Serious, yeah. Joel Damon, I'll put it out here now. If Joel Damon wins, I will buy myself a bucket hat and I'll wear it next week on the show if he wins.
I think I actually have one here somewhere next to me. Who wants that?
I do. Yeah. So Damon's played here twice and he's been fifth and ninth. Really good record around here. The thing I like about him, he's been a bit hit and miss this year in terms of form, but he was 11th at the Players a couple of weeks ago, as you mentioned, Donnie, on Bermuda grass greens. So he's putting decently well on those greens. He likes the course, two top 10 finishes. I think coming back here, it might just trigger something for him. He's a legend as well.
He is a legend. Well, something that is really, if you're a Joel Damon fan, something that is really good to see, and who's not a Joel Damon fan, but he wouldn't be known for being like the most elite ball striker, but you know, he generally is a good putter. He makes his scores. He was third of everyone in the Players tee to green. He was a third. He was sixth off the tee, 15th on approach, 17 greens of regulation.
Yeah,
and interestingly enough, he was 66th in putting. And that's of 73 guys made the cut, and he was 66th. So that can turn around. Starts to make some putts, you've got yourself a dinger. What was it, 90-1?
95-1, yeah. Huge price on him. And especially in this field, it's worth a punt.
It really is.
And then just one dart to throw for a finish is Gary Woodland. Probably, I'd say he's the player I back the most in golf. There's something about the guy I'm just drawn to. He's 275-1 on the exchange. He played here last year, finished ninth. Hasn't been playing well, to be honest. He made the cut at the Genesis and at the Player. So he's showing a little bit of form in more high class fields. I think just going back somewhere where he finished top 10 last year, he's been struggling with, he had some health issues and the rest of it. But I'm just hoping he might find something, might put it all together for 1 week. And yeah, I just couldn't turn him down at that big
revenge. Well, look, at the end of the day, his ceiling is fucking US Open champion. Exactly, and he's also won in Texas before. He won the Waste Management in 2018. So why not?
Yeah, it's a dart, as I said. So, four picks, Jason Day, Keith Mitchell, Joel Bucket Hat Damon, and then Gary Woodland are the four. So hopefully we'll get a fucking winner between us. It's about time.
Between us.
And you got, If Scotty wins, I don't even think it counts as a winner, does it?
No, it doesn't. Of course, actually, doesn't.
It doesn't for me. Yeah, it doesn't for me. But he won't win anyway.
Brew,
yeah,
you're the favorite finder.
Second green jacket there in 2 weeks' time.
Man. He won't win the Masters. If anyone backs him a 4-1 for the Masters, you're fucking insane. If you ask me,
I'm Rory, back Ram. Do you know why I'm thinking about it? Not for financial reasons. I just don't want to be looking at the Masters and having like remember like the Spieth year. It's like if you were on Spieth, you had a great time, but everybody else was just like, this young lad has fucking ruined my favorite event of the year. And if that's going to happen with Scotty this year, like it happened 2 years ago, and it kind of happened with John Rahm last year, I at least want to profit on it.
Yeah, I get you, but he's not going to win. He won't get a second green jacket.
Do you know who I think he's going to win?
Rory.
Joaquin Niemann.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't rule him out.
He's, if you actually look at his numbers, I've seen this just propagate on Twitter as opposed to going to look for it because he's a live wanker. Not that that should matter, but he is playing some like ridiculous golf. And the fact that he's won the Genesis, at Riviera, which correlates so strongly. There are so many guys who've won at Augusta and Riviera. I think Niemann, my three right now, well, Scotty, I'm not sure, but I'm definitely backing. I already have a decky backed at 50-1, who's now 33s, and I'm going to back Niemann as well, who I think he can get at like 28.
Yeah, I have a decky backed. I have Willie Z backed, Sam Burns backed, and Scotty Scheffler backed. Oh, and Wyndham Clark. I got Wyndham Clark at like 45. I think he's 25 now.
It's very surprising that nobody is taking Wyndham Clark this week.
Yeah,
he's just not for me. Not I don't think he's a 12-1 golfer like for any tour.
Well, I mean, you know, he's chased Scotty home in the last two signature events, and there's a lot to be said for him. Like, oh God, I just wish I could go back in time to three. When we were doing this podcast at the outset during COVID, and I just was religiously backing Wyndham Clark because I thought he was the fucking tits. And then, you know, he went from 100-1, 80-1, and started to come in at like 33-1. And I just went off the price and I stopped backing him. And then he won a US Open and he's won twice since. And he is legit. He is a really legit golfer.
I do find it interesting Rory showing up to the Houston or whatever it is, the Texas.
Yeah, Valero next week.
I do find out, has he played that before? Is it going to be a first that he's playing the week before the Masters?
No, I'll tell you now, but I know that he was speaking at the start of the year saying that he tends to play the best golf of his season in like May and June.
Yeah.
And they were trying to be like, right, can we just shift that 6 weeks? Yeah. So I play my best golf for Augusta. And I think that this was part of the idea. Let me have a look. Do you know, he played it last year, believe it or not. Oh, he's played it a couple of times. He played last year and missed the cut. Sorry, I tell a lie. 2022, that is.
Okay.
He was second in 2013. They're the only two times he's played it. And he's actually played the Houston Open a few times.
All right. Yeah, something different for him then, at least. I don't mind it. I don't mind him playing, just not really giving a shit the week before the Masters, using it as like a warm-up event
Just get tuned up. Like.
Yeah.
You know, like, hopefully he has a better run of it than missing the cut last year.
Yeah, but I suppose that's not good for the confidence either, is it? But he's 12.5-1 12.5-1 right now for Augusta. I think that's where your money should be going.
I'd love to say, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's nothing in the data that would make you think otherwise. It's just Rory's not a data pick. That's just that's just where's his head more than anything.
Do you know what? Adrian Maronk is 300-1 for the Masters. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a top 10, top maybe an each way.
That's a play. Is that on the sports books?
No, it's on Betfair. I don't know what he is in the sports books.
Well, even if you get
the tall pole.
What's your reckon? What is he going to be letting there? We should really wrap this podcast up, by the way.
Yeah, we're just rambling
now, aren't we? I'm trying to find him. Best priced 200-1 currently on William Hill and 888, or 150-1 everywhere else. I don't hate it. I really don't.
Not bad for an each way. Some big prices out there, especially on the exchange.
Oh, there are. There are indeed. Right, we'll wrap it up. But yeah, enjoy Houston this week. Whoever's having a punt, hopefully you pick a winner. Hopefully you found that useful or entertaining, or, you know, I mean, if you didn't, what the fuck are you doing still here? As always, look, we really appreciate any feedback. We are on Twitter at Finders Fairway, posting up stats and sort of giving out generally. And also, if you find the pod a good laugh, we'd love a review. You can do it wherever you get your podcasts. Otherwise, I'm guessing we'll be back next week. And then after that is the big one for the Masters. And I'm already pulling together a whole heap of fucking numbers. So let's see how we get on. But it's kind of redundant because I do actually think that Brew is right and Scotty will just win it again.
Nah, you won't. Don't worry.
We shall see. Yeah. Right, boys. Have a good week.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourselves. Behave yourselves. God bless. Steve, enjoy the Switzerland game tomorrow. Soon.
Thank you, sir.
Give her socks.
Bye, 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 bye.
Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
Jordan,
he's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open champion.